This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Thursday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Jackie Clark from Staton, Kentucky, and you are listening to a special Mountain Horse episode of Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for May 8th, episode 909. This episode is brought to you by Brett Construction, Seltzer Properties of Lexington, Kentucky. Good morning, Horse World.
We have a big show for you.
I like Thursdays.
And now, let's settle in for some great conversation about the United Mountain Horse breeds and the great folks who love them. Trying to find a
better way. Wow, there's a new opener for you this morning, Jackie. Welcome to your first co-hosting gig.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be able to do this today.
Well, you know, we're happy to have you here. I'm excited to learn. I don't know much about mountain horses, so I'm excited to learn about it, and I'm sure our listeners are too. Jackie is joining us. She's going to be with us the second Thursday of every month, and we're going to be talking about a lot of the gated breeds and the mountain horses in particular. But, Jackie, let's first find out a little bit about yourself. You go to the University of Kentucky, huh?
Yes, I do. I am currently a sophomore, but now that I'm done with all my finals and everything like that, I am now technically a junior at the University of Kentucky, which is very exciting. I have about a year and a half to 2 years left here at UK.
Cool. And you go to main campus?
I'm at main campus some, not much. I'm more toward the College of Ag, which is kind of separated from main campus a little bit. It's kind of like its own little campus. So that's kind of like my second home here at UK.
Now, the College of Ag, is that the one that's north of town heading toward the Kentucky Horse Park?
Not really. Do you know where UK Hospital is?
Yes. Yep.
It's okay, where the emergency room is, it's right across that street. There's okay. Like a little entranceway, and that building that sits facing the ER entrance, that's College of Ag. That's one of the buildings.
And is there a specific major within the Ag College that you're taking?
My major is Community and Leadership Development. It's what they did with the program at UK. They combine agricultural communications and some community development work and leadership development, and they combined it all into one major. So what happens is you can take three different pathways within community and leadership development, and agriculture communications is the path that I'm taking.
Okay, now is that talking to animals or humans, agriculture communications?
It's talking to humans about animals.
Okay.
I always clarify.
That's a good answer. That's good, Jackie.
I always tell people this is so funny because everyone asks me, they say, what is community and leadership development, or what do you want to do with agriculture communications? Because I've learned now just to not say community and leadership development and just say my major is agriculture communications, just to skip that first part. And everybody asks, well, what do you want to do? And obviously I would love to work at Keeneland. But I tell everybody, I say, I just want to wear heels and talk about cows and talk about horses. That's all I want to do.
Well, tell us about your history with with horses. Where did that start?
It started, oh, goodness, probably before I could walk. I know my parents had horses a long time ago. I was probably 3-4 years old, something like that. And I've just been around it my whole life. I used to always love going to the barn with my mom and dad because at that time when I was really little, I wasn't riding per se. like by myself, and I always just love to go to the barn and sit and watch the horses and sit and watch my mom ride the horses at the barn. And finally, I started showing when I was about 8 and showed up until I was about 17, and it just kind of died off when I got to college. But I remember there's this one picture of me at the horse park, and I'm probably 3, maybe 4 at the time, and I'm in my overalls, and I have my Rocky horse with me, and my Rocky horse looks just like a mountain horse, but he's like a stuffed horse that I carried everywhere. And I just thought it was so funny because horses really did consume my life at one point.
Now you are really involved, which is why the United Mountain Horse Incorporated asked you to host this segment every month, is because you truly are immersed in this life, and that's the reason I was glad that you're going to be co-hosting, is so that we can learn more about it and find out about these terrific horses and the different registries that are involved in the United Mountain Horse. And we're going to learn a lot more about that today. We have a couple of guests coming on. We're going to talk to Robert Lawson of Stoner Ridge Farm, and I understand you have a relationship with him from the past.
Yes, I do. I actually interned under Robert for a summer. I think I was about a sophomore going to be a junior in high school, so I kind of wanted to get my hands in and develop my horsemanship skills a little bit and see what a trainer did on a daily basis.
Terrific, and we're going to talk to him. And then later on in the show, we have Dr. John Park coming on at Park Equine Hospital. And I guess we're going to talk to him a little bit about how the mountain horse differs as far as from the health side of things.
Yes, there are differences, but kind of the treatments are different for our horses than what he would use, and he always delivers our babies, which is my favorite part. I love to see all the new babies going around. It's so much fun.
Well, let's learn a little bit about the mountain horse now. Tell us first, what is United Mountain Horse?
United Mountain Horse really wanted to unite all breeds of the mountain horse. We wanted them to be all together under one organization. So United Mountain Horse really tried to do that. And it was developed in 2000 from different members of different associations. And what they did was they took 6 of the mountain horse breeds and brought them all together under one, which I thought was really awesome because you got to meet a lot of different people from a lot of different areas of the world. I know there's mountain horses. I actually sold a mountain horse to someone out in Colorado. I know there's even mountain horses overseas at this point. So it's a really big breed of horse, and a lot of people like these horses. So to be able to bring them all under one roof and kind of join them together really just promoted this breed of horse in a really great way.
Now, let's stop you there, because I didn't know, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners didn't know, that there were so many different breeds of mountain horse. And I have the 6 written down here. I want to go through them. We have the Rocky Mountain Horse, which a lot of people have probably heard of a Rocky Mountain Horse.
Yeah, Rocky Mountain does a great job of promoting their breed, and a lot of people like the Rocky Mountains.
And then we have the Kentucky Mountain Saddle Horse.
Yes.
And then we have the American Gated Mountain Horse. Mountain Pleasure Horse, the Spotted Mountain Saddle Horse, and the American Gated Spottle, and then the American Gated Spotted Mountain Horse. My goodness, that's a lot of different mountain horses.
Yes, it really is, but it's so many people want to register their horse under all of these because these mountain horses can be all of them. A lot of people, what we call, and I'm sure other people have this, where they're triple registered. So they'll be registered UMH, Rocky Mountain, Kentucky Mountain. And that means that they're triple registered. And that's where a lot of people register their horses with. Obviously, Spotted Mountain Saddle Horse and American Spotted Mountain Horse, obviously those are for spotted horses only, of course. And Mountain Pleasure is just you know, kind of more of like your pleasure horses. You know, these are, you know, obviously these horses can go on the trails, but Mountain Pleasure is just a little bit more laid back and relaxed.
Help me out with this, because I'm an overanalyzer, Jackie. All these various mountain horse registries, the Rocky Mountain, the Kentucky Mountain, American Gated Mountain, et cetera, they're all different registries.
Yes.
But the horses that we will find within these different registries are of the same genetic makeup in that they all have the same gait patterns.
Yes.
Amongst the two. And thus you can register them. So you wouldn't find a horse in the Rocky Mountain horse that had a different selection of natural gaits than you would find in a Kentucky saddle horse registry. From that point of view, they're all the same. Am I getting that right?
Yes, you are.
Okay,
because
so that was the first part. it's a little confusing,
yes,
for, especially for folks outside the gated community, because we only deal with three gates. We keep life simple. You guys are complicated. So from that point of view, they're all the same, and it makes so much sense to unite them, because really what you've got are different types within the same breeds. For example, a standard bred can be a trotter or a pacer, but they're still a standard bred. And rather than dividing the breed, dividing it into two separate registries, they just put a little letter next to the horse's name when it's registered to designate what gait it has. That's a similar effect of what United Mountain Horse has, in that a United Mountain Horse always falls within one of those six registries.
Exactly.
But you would not, would you have a horse that's called a registered United Mountain Horse?
Not necessarily.
Okay. So there, the UMH is really a gathering point, so all of these different registries can help get the word about the horses and how cool they are.
Exactly, yes.
I got it. Yay!
You explained it very well, Jennifer. Also, United Mountain Horses, I understand, you guys help run shows and things like that as well, right?
Yes. We just actually had a horse show in Louisville, the Derby City Classic, and that was such a fun time. I always love the first show of the year because I get to see a lot of people that I really didn't, you know, get to see over the winter, because a lot of these people live outside of Kentucky and I'm always in school and I'm always busy. So it was really nice to see everyone. And UMH does a really good job of putting on shows. They have a great staff that they hire to do this. I mean, so I think they have a good
staff. They're a terrific staff.
So, but I worked the horse shows with my mom, and my dad actually got to work this horse show with me. So we made this a little bit of a family affair. My little brother had to stay at home. That's for him. No, I'm just kidding. But we have family friends that come and help us with this show. But the Derby City show really turned out really great. And this was a two-day show. And Friday was it was in Louisville. And Friday at Freedom Hall, they were having this balloon glow thing. And it's like they had all these hot air balloons, and they were all lit up at night. And it was really pretty to see.
Oh,
and,
you know, did that freak the horses out? Because hot air balloons sometimes freak horses out.
Well, they did. They couldn't see those, but we had everything else. Full horses. I felt so bad for them. They did so well, though. I was really surprised, and it really showed. This show, I told my mom, I said, you couldn't have any other horse out here having this show, because you had to deal with traffic on the highway, trains, and then the airplanes would take off above your head and land above your head. So, I mean, there was so much going on.
Oh, that's right, because it's right beside the airport. Right beside the airport.
Yes.
I forgot.
And I was like, oh, my goodness. We went and saw these showgrounds, and I saw this, and I said, no. I said, this is not going to be a good day. I was like, makes me nervous. I'm not going to lie. I told Mom, I said, if it's any horse that could show through all this, it's these horses, because they have such a great temperament and such a calm temperament about them. Now, don't get me wrong, we have some that can get a little pumped up, our more of our higher-end park horses can get a little pumped up in some ways, but you kind of want those that way. But, I mean, it was a great show, and so many people got to stop by and see these horses. At one point, we had, like, close to maybe 500 people watching this show, and they were just so amazed, and all these little kids were like, I want to pet the horse, or I want to sit on the horse, you know, and, like, it was just so great to see people have such an interest and an interest spark in people that really didn't know what was going on. And, like, they had stopped from where they were going to come watch this show. And, I mean, not many people can bring a show horse out right after they get done showing and set a small child on it. And that's what literally happened. I remember a person came out of a show on a stallion, got off the horse and set a little girl on it, and the stallion just sat there and loved every second of it. And, I mean, so did the little kids. But it was a great show, and I hope that our next show turns out either as good or better than that Derby City show. It was great.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the horses themselves and their temperaments and their characteristics. So if you were to describe, you know, and I'm using this as a generalization of all the mountain horses, you know, let's not pick Rocky. Let's not, you know, let's throw them all in a group right now for this conversation. So, you know, as a group, what would you say personality-wise and, you know, what are their attributes that you like so much about them and that you think people should take, why they should take a look at them?
Well, I always say this. This is so funny. I feel like our horses are people. They really have their own kind of personality, which is what I love. Not one horse is going to be the same as the next, personality-wise. They're, you know, you have some horses that can be sassy, and you can have some horses that are just really, really laid back. And that's the one thing I think I love about our horses is because they are so versatile. You can take these horses out on the trail, and you can ride them for hours at a time. But, you know, some of these horses that are on the trails, you can bring right in the ring and show, and they can win the championship that night. And I really think that that's what drew me to this horse. And in light of all the negative things that go along with these gated horses and these negative stereotypes that are attached, I really think what also drew me as well as my family into this breed is that this is an all-natural four-beat gait. These horses were bred to have this gait. And it's so smooth, and it's so just relaxing, and they're so fun to be around and to be on. And I found it as a great way to relieve stress. It's a great way to relieve stress, actually. But, I mean, besides basketball, the only thing I knew was horses. So just a lot of people are brought up around these horses.
It's funny you threw basketball in there because coming from UK, I think they actually give you a serum when you walk in the first day to the college that makes you like basketball. I think it's required.
Yeah. I think you have to.
You talk about this, and I know that the mountain horses are becoming popular in endurance and especially for packing trail riders and trail riders who do longer distances than just, you know, an hour around the neighborhood. So that's why is they have this natural 4B gait. It's very smooth to ride. And you guys do train naturally. You know, obviously there's a lot of discussion right now around the Tennessee Walkers and the Big Licks and the soaring and all of that. So I'm glad you brought that up and that distinction there.
Yeah. Even though these gated horses can be, you know, they have a little bit of Tennessee Walking Horse blood in them, it's not a lot. You would have to trace it back. And I mean way back.
Yeah, you're talking back to the 1800s for that.
But the reason why they have that walking horse in them is because it kind of has the gait. And it kind of influenced the gait, but no, these horses were bred to have an all-natural four-beat gait. And it's so fun to watch, and it's so fun to see, and I love to see people outside of the gated world, and they're like, why don't you move? I was like, I don't want to move. My legs aren't too bad if I had to post. I said, this is why I watch the course. I just sit there.
That's funny. Jennifer course, rides a quarter horse is laughing now.
No, I like quarter horses canners. I really like a quarter horse's canter, but I cannot post. I just can't do it. It makes my legs hurt.
She's got no rhythm.
No. It's so sad.
I got to tell you, see, that's why I took up driving, because I had the same problem. So, you know, and actually, Tennessee Walker was one of the first horses, was the first horse I ever rode after I met Jennifer. So, but I took up driving. See, I eliminated that problem altogether with driving.
Yeah, so, you just sit there.
Yeah, exactly. now, tell me, you know, we talk about the versatility of these horses, and they really are becoming involved. There's even some eventers out there now riding them, and they do can't. Tell us about the gates. What gates do they have?
Okay, there are three basic gates that these horses have. Our trail walk, which is just a walk, is considered a gate for this horse, just because obviously this horse is a trail horse. So the trail walk is considered a gate. We either have, and then the next gate is the show walk or the show gate. Depending on what association you're showing for, it'll be called a show walk or a show gate. And this gate is just not really fast, but it's not too slow. It's kind of a mid-range. This is how the horses come into the ring at shows. And this is just not really animated. It's just kind of, the horse is just kind of sitting there, just kind of pitter-patting along doing its thing. The next gate, which is our more faster gate, is the Pleasure Gate or the Rocky Mountain Pleasure Gate. And obviously, if you're showing Rocky Mountain, it's going to be called the Rocky Mountain Pleasure Gate. And this gate really, I think, shows off the natural four-beat gate. It's faster than the show gate because you have to show that change in speed. And that's what the judges look for. And they want to make sure that these horses don't break gait, which means either they'll start hitching, they'll hop, or they'll be more pacey. And when these horses will do that, even though they're bred to have this natural gait, they'll sometimes kind of get a little hitchy or hoppy in the turns, but there's ways you can get around that. And just working with your horse and get kind of riding it out of your horse is a way to kind of get that out of them.
Now, do they canter at all? Can they canter?
Yes, they can canter. We have a open four-gate class, and this is when a canter or a lope comes in. We don't, it's either or for these horses. And a lot of, there used to be a really big response to the four-gate class, and it was always kind of fun to watch because it was something different. It showed that, you know, these horses can do this or, you know, this is just another thing that this horse can do.
Now, we did see some videos of a couple of these mountain horses actually doing eventing and jumping. So is that something
Oh, yeah. A lot of these people do. There's people in Lexington go out to, there's a park, I think it's called Masterson Station Park.
Yep. We used to live right across the street from there. Yeah.
Yeah. There's jumps out there, and they take our mountain horses out there. Obviously, they're not going to jump anything huge, but you can jump. I've seen a mountain horse be turned into a jumper. So they can do about anything. We're now starting competitive trail rides through AXA. I don't know if you've heard about that.
Yep, but, we've had them on many times.
Yeah, our horses are starting to get really involved in AXA, and we're starting to hold competitive trail rides now. With these horses, we have a class called Trail Obstacle, and it's like an obstacle course that's set up for what horses may encounter on a trail, and that tests, you know, patience level of the horse, patience level of the rider, can this horse effectively go through this course? And it shows that, you know, this horse can be really versatile by going into the show ring and then going onto this course and completing it.
Well, it is interesting all the different things they can do. Talk a little bit about some of the unique things as far as color is concerned, because I was reading that color is important in a couple of these breeds.
Yes. There's a variety of different colors. Oh, my goodness. I feel like mountain horses come in every color under the sun. We have, you know, obviously your basic colors, black, brown, bay. I've seen a couple of gray mountain horses, not many. You can have a cream yellow, you could have, you know, anything like that, obviously spotted. So they come in a variety of different colors. They'll have a variety of different markings. And there's some really, really pretty mountain horses. But when everyone hears gated horse, they think of the chocolate with the black mane and tail. And that's kind of been our symbol, I guess. And there are a lot of chocolate, black mane and tail mountain horses. But there's also, you know, you have a lot of your bay mountain horses. You have a lot of black mountain horses. You have a lot, you know what I mean? So it's kind of a variety of color, but there's those basic colors in there too.
Well, very good. Well, we're going to have our first guest coming up here in a minute. But before we get to Robert, we wanted to thank Brett Construction Company for sponsoring this special Mountain Horse episode. Brett Construction Company is a full-service contracting company with a history spanning 25 years based in Lexington, Kentucky. Their client base is comprised of industrial, institutional, and commercial companies throughout the state of Kentucky and beyond. Brett Construction Company specializes in designs and builds construction projects and also offers structural steel capabilities, concrete placement, and line of pre-engineered buildings. Brett Construction Company is a multi-disciplined contracting company with a time-proven track record. They offer the finest quality materials and workmanship combined with the highest degree of professional service. Brett Construction is certified in Kentucky, Tennessee, and Washington. Brett Construction is committed to serving the needs of their clients on each and every project they build. A testament of that commitment is their continuing relationships and repeat client business. They look forward to the opportunity of working with you on your upcoming projects. Visit them at BrettCon, BrettCon.com. That's BrettCon.com. All right, Jackie, you get to introduce your first guest as a radio host.
Okay, well, our first guest is Robert Lawson, and he is the owner of Stoner Ridge Farm in Paris, Kentucky. And Robert has been a professional trainer of the mountain horses for 20 years and has really specialized in training these mountain horses and really focusing on their versatility. So welcome, Robert. Are you there?
Good morning.
How are you this morning, Robert?
I'm fine this morning, Jackie. How are you?
I'm doing well. So today we really want to discuss, you know, your love of the mountain horse. So if you just want to go ahead and give the listeners a little bit of your background in these horses and what you all do at Stoner Ridge Farm.
Well, to go back, Jackie, to the start of my involvement in the horse world, I rode horses as a child growing up. And as I got older and married and moved away from the family farm, I got away from the horses for a while. But when I had young daughters that got of the age that they should be riding horses, I bought another one. And actually, I bought two. And as the girls aged and moved away from the horses and started families of their own, my wife and I, Langle, never quit playing with the horses or training the horses. Like you say, I've trained horses for 20 years professionally, but I've trained horses much longer than that. When you talk about the versatility of this mountain horse and where it come from, it originated out of eastern Kentucky. and the breed was started, the Rocky Mountain breed, which was the first one that was started in 1986, was in urban Kentucky. And we, you know, and there's been many other associations and breeds affiliated with this horse that helped grow it to the point that it's at today. The mountain horse is a very, very versatile horse. It is an easy horse to train. One of its most endearing characteristics is its temperament. The temperament of this horse is just unbelievable. There are those rare horses that in this breed that would be tougher to train than
like
you would
any
expect.
But the normal
horse in this breed is, or the average horse, I should say, is very easy to train, and that's very appealing to the public at large. Many of our riders are either elderly or very young, or have some sort of disability that limits their ability to ride. So they need a really calm, laid-back type horse that they can deal with.
You actually answered my question that I was going to ask you. You know, drawing people in from the outside and seeing these horses is a big deal. So why, what type of customers are you seeing more and more these days? And, you know, obviously I've been kind of out of the horse world and in school mode and really haven't, you know, got to see kind of away from the center ring aspect of the horse show grounds. What do you think, what type of customers are you all seeing now? Are you all still seeing, you know, those older people that want a trail horse, or are you seeing more of those younger people like it was when I was growing up?
Well, we're seeing a lot of youth come into it. I have a lesson program here where I have probably a third of my lessons people are young people. The rest of them are probably older people that are, you know, they have a bucket list, and riding horses is in that bucket. And they come to me wanting to ride and wanting me to recommend a breed of horse or a type of horse for them to use. And this horse seems to be working really well for them. The mountain horse, as I said earlier, temperament is just unsurpassable in any breed that I have trained. And, you know, trainers that are getting a little older like myself are kind of liking that now. So we're viable longer. And it's really a nice horse for most of the public.
For these buyers that are first-time buyers, what type of training are you recommending for these people that are just coming into the mountain horse world and just kind of getting their feet wet with this horse?
Well, I think the most important training any person that's wanting to ride is the training of themselves first. You know, these people that are coming in that, like I said, have this bucket list and have this in their bucket that they want to accomplish before they get too old. They need to find somebody that they trust and that can believe that is a good trainer to steer them toward a horse that will work for them. Somebody that can assess their skills and then assess a horse that would fit their needs. There are, however, people out there that would just want a horse to hang out in the paddock with and pet, and they never plan to ride it, and that's fine. You know, my philosophy is enjoy your horse any way you can. But finding a horse is that will suit your needs is very, very important. You know, they wouldn't want a young horse or an untrained horse. I would advise them to go with a more seasoned horse and then train themselves or have somebody help them train themselves.
And we always, you know, we always in our associations, and I want you to explain this to other people, the value of a good trail horse. and why these horses can be show and trail, and why we pay so much at, you know, obviously at a better point in time, we were paying a good amount of money for these horses that could be shown, you know, in the ring and on, can be ridden on the trail. So kind of explain to people how these horses can go from trail to show ring to trail, and why they're just not a trail horse.
Well, there's many of these horses that have long show careers, and all during that show career, they will be used as trail horses. Many of our better show horses are actually some of our better trail horses. Some of our show horses, or all of our show horses, are exposed to a lot of stimuli. There's a lot of noise and a lot of movement at shows. And the things that frighten horses or excite horses is things that make noise and move. And as you know yourself, there's a lot of that going on at the shows.
Oh, yeah.
When you talk about choosing a good trail horse and paying as much maybe for a good trail horse as you would a good show horse, I explain it to people this way. If you had your young child or grandchild out riding, and you had that child on a very, very broke, nice horse, as the common sense would lead you to do, but you're riding, or the people you're riding with is riding a horse that is unseasoned or unbroke, that horse can put your child in danger. Or putting a child or a elderly person on a horse that is hyper or uncontrollable out there can be very dangerous. So the value, how do you put the value on a good, safe trail horse? There is no value, really. There's no value limitations on that, in my opinion. I would rather have a really good calm trail horse than a really good calm show horse, because the show horse is shown in most of the time in a confined area and in a controlled situation, where your trail horse thing can happen out there. There's water to cross and bridges to cross and cars
on
roads and
glad, Robert, that you
wild
you
animals.
Hey, Jackie, I'm glad that you brought this up, because I was just actually, while you guys were talking, I was on dreamhorse.com, and I was looking at I was on the Rocky Mountain Horse section. Look, and by the way, there's a lot of Rocky Mountain horses for sale, I'm surprised. But you're right, the prices tend to be a little bit higher than if you're looking at the trail horse, the quarter horse trail section. So they tend to be a little bit higher, so I'm glad you explained that, too. And usually that indicates anytime a price is higher, one, people are willing to pay it, and two, there's a reason. And I'm glad you explained that.
Yeah, there's a lot of different, as Robert was explaining, there's a lot of different people that ride these horses. And he is right. There is a lot of stuff that does go on at these shows. You know, I was riding a young horse one time in a show and got thrown. I mean, obviously, I was 17 years old, and I had been around horses for a good time at that point. And, you know, you're going to fall off. But it's how you dose yourself off and get back on. And I think my horse learned through that, okay, I've got to learn how to adapt myself to all these surroundings. And after that, she was fine. I was fine. And we went in the show ring and we showed. And that's another thing, Robert, which brings me into this. You know how versatile our horses really are. And you know how they do the shows and, you know, the different events of the shows, you know, like our Western Pleasure classes. I was explaining to Glenn earlier about our trail obstacle classes and stuff. Like, I know at the World Show we had the pleasure driving class, and a lot of our horses are now being used for dressage. So could you go ahead, and I know you work a lot with the dressage and the Western and the trail obstacle. Could you kind of explain more how our horse fits into those areas and how you prepare your horses and how you make your horses at Stoner Ridge Farm versatile?
Well, this mountain horse is very adaptable to versatility, and versatility is a broad term. what I might consider versatile, the next person may not. But this horse has the ability to adapt and be used in many different avenues, from working cattle to team penning and sorting and stuff like that. I do not feel like this horse is physically adaptable to being a reining horse or a cutting horse or something of that thing. I don't think he's versatile in those terms, but he's very versatile mentally. It's something I would like to touch on, and what I'm saying is he can be taught a lot of different things. We have horses that we can work in Liberty. We have horses that we can work in trail obstacles, and Western, as you said. We have, in training those horses, from a trainer standpoint, it all starts on the ground, and teaching them from the ground first before you get in the saddle and start trying to maneuver them there. When you talk about teaching a horse and teaching cues and stuff like that I give a horse a command and he does it, all a cue is a taught move. I do this and my horse does that. I put my leg here, or I pick up a rein here, and he moves a foot or his back end or front end here or there. And that gets pretty technical sometimes, and is better taken up probably in clinics and stuff like that. But my approach to training them is start on the ground, start slow, and what I have learned over the years from training horses is slow is quicker. Don't give signals my horse is not ready to take. And teach him from the ground up.
Okay, and obviously, with our horses comes a lot of, stereotyping and everything like that. So, a lot of our horses are now being taught to canter, and I know this is something that you teach your horses from experience of being around your farm and things like that. So could you explain to the viewers that how you teach our horses to canter and that this is something that they can do, and also the different speeds of our horses, and that, we just don't have one set speed when we're in the show ring. Could you explain that?
Well, I'll do my best. And, when you talk about cantering a horse, and the myth that gated horses don't canter well, just go to any pasture where there's a herd of gated horses and they're feeling good and want to play and run around, and tell me how many of them can't canter. So my philosophy is that anything my horse can do in the field, he can do under saddle. So when I see him cantering in the field, I know I can teach him to canter on cue. And that's the only difference, is that when I'm asking him to canter in a show situation and I'm showing in a four-gate class or something like that which requires a canter, I've just taught my horse to depart to that canter from a cue. And what I mean by depart is that he moves into his canter. I'm very much a proponent of cantering your horses. I start teaching my horse that at a young age, that I know you can canter, and I want to teach you when to canter, when I ask you to canter. So I'm with you on that. I think that's a myth that is somehow got grounded in our gated horse breeds, and I think it's very false.
I didn't realize that you mentioned driving. I didn't realize that there's a driving contingent as well.
These horses are great driving horses, and what makes them great driving horses is because their temperament. They're very laid back. They take to the harness real well. We drive a lot of our horses. It's just a part of our training that we incorporate, that's incorporated into our training, and that starts from the very beginning of their training too. Well, not hooked to a cord or anything, but ground driving on the ground and learning to take directions from somebody behind them with long lines, driving them forward and asking them to turn left, turn right, stop, back up, and make all the moves that would be needed if they were in a cart. They're beautiful cart horses.
I was going to say their gait would, you know, they're smooth to ride, but they would also be fairly smooth to have in a cart. I mean, that wouldn't change.
No, that would not change. And it actually helps the gait, I think, because a horse that's pulling a load behind him, particularly hooked in a cart, it seems to load them a little heavier on their back end and build their back end and makes them a little more athletic.
Can you explain a four-beat gait? I know it's radio, so that's a little tough, but, you know, for the listeners out there that are going, what is a four-beat gait? Can you explain it?
I will do my best. Without getting as technical, very technical
right.
with it, what a four-beat gait is a lateral gait. And I know most people know what lateral is, but I will explain it for the one that don't. A lateral gait means that my horse is moving on one side or the other, and what that means is he's picking his feet up on one side or the other. A lateral four-beat gait would be generated by first moving the right hind forward, then the right forward would go forward, and then that would go to the other side, and that would move forward. The best way to explain it is to differentiate it between a lateral and a diagonal gait, the diagonal gait is the trot.
Right.
The trot is diagonal, which means his left hind and his right fore will leave the ground and hit the ground at the same time. And that becomes a very rough gait. What breaks up what I just described to you is his left hind and his left fore left the ground at the time and hit at the same time, that would be a pace. But what these
right.
horses do with their back legs is they move forward kind of like they're on skates in their back with their back legs. And the front end moves kind of like it's rolling around a ball. This breaks the timing up and causes each foot to hit individually of the other. Therefore, there's no 2 feet hitting at the same time that was previously in flight. And I hope this is not getting too far out there.
It always looked to me like they were trotting in the front end and walking in, or, you know, shuffling in the back. I don't know what the word I want to use it.
That's the way they will appear. But I prefer to explain that his back end is moving on like he's on roller skates or ice skates, and his front end is moving like it's going around the ball. But that's there's no way to trot in the front and not trot
right,
back.
Right, right, right.
But what happens is when you get this each foot hitting the ground independent of the other, is it smooths the back of that horse out. It stays level, and it's moving forward. Therefore, that's the reason you get that nice, smooth ride. And that's something else that we've not talked about is how smooth the ride is and how well, to back up a little bit, is how well that fits into us baby boomers that are riding now and like that nice, smooth gait. And it's something that doesn't beat us up, or we don't have to post it like you would to trot.
And that's why they're becoming so popular with trail riders everywhere. Trail riders, you know, 25 years ago, you'd see them out there mostly with quarter horses. But most of the serious trail riders and packers I know have switched to some form of gated breed, and a lot of the mountain horses are what they switch to, because if you watch videos even of people riding mountain horses, you're right, and this is something that Jackie talked about earlier. You don't see the rider moving, and that's because it is so smooth. And that's why they're becoming so popular with the trail horses, and especially because, you're right, people, you know, I'm 50. you know, it gets a little harder to ride walk, trot, canter.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
And this horse is a fit for that group of people that do not want to post that horse or ride that trot. And I'm not knocking the square gauged horses, we call them, the trot, walk, trot, canter horse. Those are great horses. There's some great athletes in those breeds, and they're beautiful. But this horse is fitting a niche that other breeds cannot fit.
Right. Well, Robert, thank you so much for joining us. So Robert's website is stonerridgefarm.com. I have to ask you how you got the name Stoner Ridge Farm. Either you grew up in the 60s or it's the name of the place where you live. I'm not sure.
Well, I grew up in the 60s. You're right. I'm a 60s child. The name Stoner Ridge Farm, we lived on a creek that ran in front of our house that was called Stoner Creek. And I wanted to name my farm Stoner Creek. But when I got to researching names, that name was taken. And there was a ridge that ran back from our farm, so we just said we'll call it Stoner Ridge.
Because it did sound, when you say Stoner Ridge, it kind of sounds like a place where the hippies from the 60s would have hung out. So that's,
yes,
why I was asking,
no
Robert.
But their farm in Paris is gorgeous. I always love going out there. So for anyone that is listening that wants to get involved in mountain horses, please contact Robert. They have a gorgeous place out in Paris. It will not disappoint.
Thank you, Robert. StonerRidgeFarm.com.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
Well, that was good. He really did give us a good overview of the breed, and I think we're learning a lot today about the breed. And you know, I think what happens, too, with people who aren't familiar with gated horses is they tend to take – you were talking about stereotypes earlier. They tend to take – and we've been trying to dispel that myth here on the show – they tend to take the what's happening in the Tennessee walking world that's getting all the press and throw it over everybody that has a gated horse, and that's not true. They're different things altogether, and that's why we're trying to bring that to the forefront here on Horses in the Morning, is to let everybody know that these are different worlds. They're not the same. It would be like, you know, saying that that all thoroughbreds are being drugged to oblivion when we know they're not, you know. So it's that kind of – one of the things we want to do by having you on this show is dispel that myth.
Yes.
I think you're,
A lot of our people are, you know, try to promote the mountain horse as a natural horse to get away from that myth, because there has been so much attached to it.
Right. Right, and you know, I think what happens is anytime somebody goes to a horse show or is out and about and sees a gated horse that has the higher action in the front, they assume it must have been abused to get it that way, you know?
Exactly.
And when in fact, they're bred that way, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, some horses are obviously going to have that higher action in the front, but I always say that depends on the horse. How high do you want to pick your feet up today? Because I had a horse, at one day she would be trail and she would not pick her feet up that high, and then the next day she would be classic. So I would have to get to the show and be like, what do you feel like doing today? You know what I mean? So it's kind of really up to them, but it's also their breeding and their bloodlines and things of that nature as well.
And it's what makes the whole situation with the Tennessee Walkers, what's going on now, so sad, is because those horses do have a naturally flashy gait. They're trying to enhance it to an unnatural point, when in fact they don't have to, because the horses have it anyway. It's not like they're trying to get them to do something that they're not bred to do either, but they're just trying to enhance that, which is what makes it so ridiculous. Anyway, I didn't mean to get off on that sidetrack. But
you're fine.
We want to welcome any new listeners from the mountain horse breeds here to Horses in the Morning. And thank you for joining us here today. We are a live show, the only live show for the horse world. We have over 30,000 listeners in 40-plus countries, and I guarantee you, Jackie, that we have some of our listeners overseas that are going, what language is Jackie speaking?
Oh, my. Eastern Kentucky.
Yeah, that's right, Eastern Kentucky, and it's absolutely beautiful. So we are here Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern. We have done we've done over 900 episodes now of the show. My usual co-host, Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays, is a girl by the name of Jamie Jennings, who came out of Atlanta, Georgia, in radio there for 10 years, real radio. So she has a Southern accent, too, when she wants to turn it on. But yours is much more natural. But I guarantee if you two talked, she'd be back into her Southern accent in no time.
Oh, my goodness. We'll have to get it out of her.
Yeah. So thank you for listening. You can find us at horsesinthemorning.com, or you can listen to the show. One of the great ways to listen to it is in the recorded version after the show. It's available usually about an hour after the show ends. And you can find that on our app. Just if you go to the iOS or Android app store on any smartphone, search for Horse Radio Network, and the Horses in the Morning show is one of the 11 shows on the Horse Radio Network. Well, this is the point of the show where we take a little break for a song, and then we come back with our second guest. Today, I have a Marianne Kennedy song called Horses in Life. We're going to be right back with Jackie and our other guests and talking more about mountain horses in just a minute.
Horses in life, it's all the same to me. The reason that my heart keeps beating inside. Horses in life, passion was born at birth. Until my last day on earth, it'll be life. We'll be right back.
that was Horses in Life by Marianne Kennedy, and I believe Marianne Kennedy actually rides a gated horse down there in Tennessee. You can find her music at MarianneKennedy.com or search for her on iTunes. Just search for Marianne Kennedy. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek, and I am here with Jackie Clark out of Lexington, Kentucky, my old stomping ground. And we are brought to you today by United Mountain Horse. You can find them at unitedmountainhorse.com. Coach Jen is in the producer chair today. And, you know, you have an upcoming show you wanted to mention as well called the Spring Fling.
Yes, we do. The Spring Fling will be held on March 30th and 31st at the Kentucky Equestrian Center, which is located in Winchester. It's a brand-new facility. It's so nice out there. And it's a really good time. It's always so much fun with everyone out there. And I love being at KEC, not only because it's really close to my house and I actually go home for the evening, but I just love the atmosphere out there. It's so pretty, and it's set on the old Crow Farm out in Winchester, and that's actually where one of our main breeding sires was actually born, on that farm. So it's kind of got some history tied back with the mountain horses in it as well, and I was so excited to hear that our new facility was going to be built there.
I was reading a little bit about you speaking about one of your, you know, the foundation sires. I was reading a little bit about why was the Kentucky, or why was the mountain horse in general, bred, and why did they come up with them? And it basically was in the Appalachian Mountains, and they were using them for farm work. That was the main, and for transportation. And they wanted a smoother gated horse to do that, and that's why it was late 1800s when that all transpired in the Appalachian Mountains.
Yes.
And they all had an accent like you do, Jackie.
I know, which is great, because I feel not as lonely. I'm here in Lexington, and I try to shut it off sometimes, but it just doesn't work. So I just go with it. And if people ask me where I'm from, they do. If I have to say the alphabet, I have to say the alphabet. It's fine.
I won't make you do that.
I have been asked to say the alphabet before. So
I won't make you do that. I really won't. Okay. I'll make you sing it. We'll make you sing the alphabet.
Oh, no, it's even worse. Please
all
help.
Right. Why don't you introduce our next guest?
Okay, so our next guest is John Park, and he is the owner of Park Equine Hospital, which has a new location now in Lexington, which it is the new location that he has is so pretty. I've passed it every now and then, and I'm like, that's Dr. John's place. And Dr. John has actually been in business since 2001, and he works with all kinds of breeds, but mountain horses really like Dr. John, and I've known Dr. John since I was little. He's always helped our family out with our horses. So I'd like to welcome Dr. John Park to the show. Hi, Dr. John. How are you today?
I'm doing great this morning. How are you, Jackie?
I'm doing pretty good. So me and Glenn will kind of go back and forth and ask you some questions, but I'll go ahead and get you started with the first one. You know, as a vet, and you've been with the mountain horses ever since I could remember. What do you think sets these mountain horses apart from more of the familiar breeds that you've worked with?
Well, I think I've been involved with the mountain horses extensively since 1997, and I think this breed's temperament and their willingness to be gentle and they're easy keeping. They're very sound breed. Their feet and legs are very low maintenance. I think all of that combined to this breed makes them unique in those facets, and the smooth ride for the rider to experience. I think you put that combination together, and this horse is, really a magnificent breed that deserves a lot of attention.
Now, tell me, so as far as health is concerned, are there characteristics of the breed in general that are any different from any other horse? Do you have, you know, because I know, you know, like I own draft horses, and we always had problems with their feet. You know, we're constantly having problems with canker and everything else. So is there anything that's unique to a mountain horse that way?
They're, you know, really a very, you know, resilient breed. There's no unique traits that I know, you know, like you're referring to, the draft breeds, or no muscle traits like some quarter horses have. The only unique trait, and we discovered this around 1998, that they have a unique trait in the eye. Sometimes it's due to genetics, and we have learned since 98 how to prevent that due to managed breeding. And so we've been able to take that characteristic. It's called anterior segment dysgenesis, and it's a genetic trait that is in the anterior chamber of the eye, and through research with and doing the ophthalmology exams on the horses, we've learned how to breed certain genes and certain lines to each other to prevent that from happening, and so that would be the only unique characteristic as far as health wise, but overall health. They're such a easy keeping breed feed wise. Most of these horses, you have the opposite problem. They don't need a lot of grass, and they don't need a lot of feed because they're such easy metabolizing horses that you most of the time have to watch the opposite way to make sure that they don't get too much to eat versus breeds that require a lot of carbohydrates and nutrition to keep them in a healthy state.
So they have more of the metabolism of a fat quarter horse than a skinny thoroughbred.
There you go, exactly.
That's the way I understood it. So, you know, they were bred, you know, we were just talking about, you know, a little bit about the history and how they were bred in the Appalachian Mountains, and they were used for farm work and transportation, and they were in the mountains. So you would assume that they would be a little bit of a hardier breed and a tougher breed, especially when it comes to feet and hooves.
I agree with that, and I think you know, I think that their development probably had many different breeds to combine to make this unique color and unique characteristics. And I'd say that genetic diversity of the other breeds.
Are we losing him or is it me?
Pardon? Hello?
Can you continue talking about, you know, what you were just saying, Dr. Dawn?
Yes, I'm sorry there. I think that genetic diversity, the way the breed was developed, has made them have those hardy and desired characteristics. They were a culmination of several breeds and has made a very unique horse. And I think the founding, I'm from Irvine, Kentucky originally, and one of the founding fathers of the breed was from Irvine, and so I'm very familiar with the history of the breed. When I was a little kid, I knew the kind of the start of the breed, and Mr. Tuttle was trying to promote this breed and have gentlemen in the mountains that were helping him to breed and try to develop it. So I have a unique history with it, I feel like.
And, you know, as we breed our horses, you know, obviously we want a horse with a sound hoof, as, you know, most people do. But, and obviously with these feet and, you know, our gait of our horse and how it is, with, you know, obviously our park horses lifting their feet and putting their feet down harder, and with our horses, you know, obviously, you've seen a lot of really bad clips or shoes been thrown. So why the way that this horse is built and, you know, the muscle in the leg, how does that help determine the lift and those things that are not artificial, how our horse is natural? Why do you think that makes our horse so unique? And why do you think nothing artificial needs to be added to our horses to make them have that lift and to have that animation that we look for?
Well, I think you you stated some very valid points there. This this breed is unique in that there's within the breed there may be a horse that is has a low lift that we would consider a a trail pleasure horse that is very little pitter patter gait that's there's hardly no lift, it kind of shuffles along, and then there may be a horse that within the breed that is a what we call the park style horse that has a very animated lift that is all natural, and then there's the kind of the in between the two that is considered what we would call a classic type horse, and those are all the natural for this breed, and it depends on somewhat genetics, what lift and gait the family had, and then I think this breed has a pretty unique front end structure that sometimes the musculature of the chest it has an impact on it. Sometimes the horse's trimming has an impact on it. If the foot is maybe left 1 inch longer with the hoof and the way the musculature of the leg is designed, that they may have a little higher lift than a horse that's trimmed closer. And that's all no build-ups, just a flat shoe or barefoot. And so I think all those things combined, attribute to that. And I think that a lot of it is genetics. Some of the horses that may have the small gait, and some may have a bigger lift, and it may just depend on the familial lines of the dam and the sire.
And we talk about, all the time with our horses and with our farriers and with our veterinarians, obviously hoof condition, but the shoes and, the different lengths and the angles and the degrees, which I do not understand. I just know sometimes you have to offset a horse a degree in one foot than the other foot, but I learned that through Mom Stallion Duke. I don't know if you remember him, but
yeah.
We always had to play around with his shoes and the different angles and all that stuff would do. But can you kind of tell people, if you offset a horse at a different angle and, you put a legal shoe on a horse, how, you talked about giving a horse an inch or taking an inch, that really does make a difference with our horses. So can you kind of go in more about, obviously hoof condition and how, the right type of shoes and the right angle can, enhance the horse in a natural way?
Sure, and I think that some of the farriers may can address that better than myself. I am very astute to the gaited horse lameness, which sometimes is difficult to pick out because of they're not in a trot versus a four-beat gait, and I have an eye and a reputation for being able to determine that lameness or soreness. But as the shoeing and foot length for natural ability, I agree with the statements that you have stated that sometimes a small amount of hoof length can make a difference in the elevation, and a small amount of change in the heel length can make a difference in the elevation. And I think that's all based off of the angle and the length of the foot. And generally, a little longer foot in a Rocky Mountain will give a little higher lift to the horse. But I think the horse will only do what it is naturally able to do. And you may be able to enhance that with just the longer length of the foot or a smaller angle on the hoof wall, but those things are all natural. You're not adding any artificial things to make the horse do that. And so I think that I hope I've addressed that question to make you understand, but I think that the farriers and the trainers have a little better understanding of that, because they can see the changes pretty quickly. But I do believe that it, with the breed, it's all a very natural gait, and a little bit of length of from a half inch to an inch will make the horse lift a little higher. And I think that's just due to the four-beat gait, the way that the horse hits the ground, and then that is a lot of physics to concuss and push the leg back up. And I think that angle gets into the physics and the geometry of the way that the lift is. And
hey, Dr. John, I have a quick question for you. To follow up on hooves here again. The natural, you know, or not using shoes, you know, going barefoot is a big movement around. And I assume that with these horses, and I'm not necessarily talking in the show ring, but, you know, even the trail horses out there, I assume that must be the same with the mountain horses, because they do have such tough feet. They would probably do well barefoot.
Yes, a lot of them are able to go barefoot and just with natural trimming and in a barefoot and do very well. This breed has had really great success in the western states, where a lot of trail riding and tough terrain, and that's one of the things that I have clients that call me from a lot of the western states to do a pre-purchase exam, that they're looking at buying this particular breed, and they've been referred by a friend, or they already own one previously, and that's the comments I get a lot of times is that their foot and their leg is very well received in those areas of the country because of the terrain, and they wear very well even if they're barefoot.
Well, I got to tell you, Dr. John, before we let you go, I want to say that you have one of the most beautiful vet clinics ever in the heart of Lexington, there on Lexington Road. You know, I always, when I drove by it, I always went, oh, this is the prettiest vet clinic ever. And you're the one with the statue out front, right? The horse statue?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah. Thank you so much for the compliment. We're on 26 acres on Paris Pike, and it's a unique historic road, and the clinic looks very similar to a farm setting with the paddocks and the land, and we have two rock bed flower places with the statues, copper statues, and so we really appreciate the compliment, and
you wouldn't know driving by that it was even a vet clinic if you didn't see the signs. You would have just assumed it's a very pretty farm, you know, that's what you would assume.
It doesn't have
that vet clinic look. You really did fit the Paris culture there very well, and congratulations on that. It is really a neat facility.
Well, thank you very much. I invite you to stop by anytime, or any of the listeners. We'd love to give you a tour and show you the place. And if you have any questions about this breed of horse, I feel I'm as well-versed a veterinarian as anybody to answer the questions. And you can go to our website or Facebook and send us a message, or telephone. The numbers are listed, and we'd be glad to talk with you.
It's Dr. John Park, Park Equine Hospital, and that's parkequinehospital.com. Thank you, Dr. John.
Thank you so much, and have a wonderful day.
Well, he was fun. It is a beautiful place. You would never know unless you saw the sign there as you're driving by that it was anything but a beautiful farm in rural Kentucky.
I know. His place is so pretty. I love it. And his place, he used to be in Winchester, and that place was really nice, but he built this equine, you know, kind of hospital, and has really, you know, made himself a great name in the equine community.
One of the conversations that we always have, Jackie, with new co-hosts and new guests, and I'll give you a chance to think about it, because I'm going to give Jennifer an opportunity to tell us about tomorrow's show, but we always ask new co-hosts about their first horse or pony. So we're going to find out about that in a minute.
God.
But Jennifer, Coming up on tomorrow's show, every Friday here on Horses in the Morning, we do the most popular thing that we do here on the Horse Radio Network, any of the shows, every week, is something called Really Bad Ads, where our listeners submit by the hundreds really bad Craigslist ads every week about horses for sale or farm equipment or that kind of thing, and then Jamie and I take them and make a little fun of them. And we give out prizes for that if you're submitting bad Craigslist ads to us. And Jennifer, what are the prizes this week?
On the prize table this week, we have things from horsegroomingsolutions.com. When you need gentle, effective, economical products for your daily or show grooming needs, look no further than the Horse Grooming Solutions brands that you have come to know and love. Healthy Hair Care, voted number one horse health brand by consumers, Silverado Show Grooming, and Old Timers Equine. You can find them all at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can go online to horsegroomingsolutions.com. And also from Dr. Rose's Remedies. Dr. Rose's Remedies skin treatment salve and spray are 100% all-natural products. They are anti-inflammatory, antibacterial, antiviral, and antifungal. Dr. Rose's are made with all human-grade ingredients and are safe and effective treatments for all manner of cuts and scrapes on your horse. And Dr. Rose's is the must-have product here at HRN headquarters to keep Pete P. Scooter's delicate white pasterns free from dew poisoning. Ask for Dr. Rose's at your local tack and feed store, or you can visit them online at drrosesremedies.com.
The reason she talks about P.T. Scooter there, Jackie, is I have a little rescue Hackney pony that I'm driving, and as you know, Hackneys have a little bit of action in the front end, too. So, he's a cute little guy. So tell me about your first horse or pony.
Okay, this is so funny. I think I was around seven, was around six or seven that age, because I never learned how to ride a bike. Because at that point, I had a horse, and I had a four-wheeler, and I felt no need. I felt like I could get where I needed to go. What I tell everyone. It was so funny. But, and I mean, still to this day, I don't know how to ride a bike. So, my first horse, I actually got...
You do
got
drive, from, right? You did get a license.
Yes, I do
point.
Drive.
Okay.
Yes, I do
checking.
Drive. Yes. But, my first horse I actually got for Christmas one year. This is so funny. My parents had taken me to Van Burt Farm in Stanton. It's, I grew up, that's where I started riding. That's where I took all my riding lessons. And that's where my mom started out. So it kind of got passed down. And I actually went to Van Burt, and I was like, why are we going? Like, it was such a random trip. And I was just like, whatever, I'll go. I'm going to the barn. So I rode this little horse, and at the time, she wasn't registered, and I forgot what they had called her, but my old teacher, it was her trail horse, and they were riding her, and I was like, she's real cute, and they were like, do you want to ride her? And I was like, yeah, that's fine. I didn't care. I'll ride anything. Like, you know, you put me on any horse, I'll go for days if I could. And I rode her and had such a good time. And I was like, Mom and Dad, like, I really like that horse. And well, it was coming up on Christmas time. And, you know, Mom and Dad really hadn't asked me what I wanted for Christmas. And I was like, well, what the heck? Did I even remember? Like, come on now. Like, Christmas is coming, guys. Let's come on. And I'd always said, you know, I want to start showing. And at the time, my mom had a stallion, the stallion that I was talking to Dr. John about. And I can't ride a stallion. I mean, he was like a big puppy dog around me, but, you know, I couldn't ride
him. He's still a stallion.
Yeah, he's still a stallion. And he had his stud moments, let's be honest. But it was so funny. Christmas comes, and there's all these big boxes. And I was like, what is this? And my parents had actually, it was like a scavenger hunt is how they set it up. And it was so funny because, like, I would pull out, like, a halter and a lead rope, and I was like, all right, listen, I don't have a horse. Dad, did you get this for Mom? I was like, this is not funny. Well, I go through and I get halters and lead ropes and straps that you put them in the trailers with. And at the time, my favorite colors were purple and lime green, so everything was purple and lime green, and I just thought, this is so cool. And I pull out a new show suit, a new show hat, new show boots and everything. And I'm like, what is this? And the last present was a box, and it had a blanket in it. And on the other side, it was a picture of my horse that I had gotten for Christmas and her registration papers. And my mom had named her Sophistication, and her nickname was Sophie. And she was the cutest little mare ever. She was black. She had a black blaze. She had a little bit of roan to her, a little bit, but not much. And I remember I was like, let's go to the barn. Like, I didn't even finish opening any other Christmas presents. And I went straight to the barn to see her, and there she was. And that was my first horse. I had got her for Christmas. And she was so much fun. But she was a little bit too much horse for me at the time, so my mom kind of took her from me because my mom loved her. So.
The truth comes out. Mom wanted a new horse. And she had an excuse. Get it for the child, and my husband won't complain.
Yeah, but that was my first horse. She was so sweet, and she's so cute. Sometimes I wish I could have kept her. But
and every one of your friends hated you because you got a pony for Christmas.
Yes, I went to school, and I was so excited. I was like, what did you get for Christmas? Everybody's like, oh, I got toys. I was like, I got a horse. It was so funny. I would always brag about it because I got a horse that year. I got a horse. It was so funny.
Well, Jackie, it's been a delight. It's been a delight spending this day with you. You are going to be with us the second Thursday of every month here, and we'll get into now that we've established what the breed is and what the horses do, we can get into a little bit more talking about. We can go a little more in depth about. And people are using them for different purposes, and we can chat with some fun people that are involved with the breed as well down the line here. So we're gonna take it and take the basis of what we've learned and go into a little more about the mountain horses here in the coming months. And I really appreciate you stopping by. By the way, we have to give you this. You did great. Good job.
Thank you. Yay.
You did great.
I'm so
You're a natural.
Excited.
And I got to tell you, I got to be honest. I was a little concerned when they told me that there was going to be a college student co-hosting the show because we have not always had terrific luck interviewing college kids.
Yeah,
right. They tend to either give us yes or no answers or they say like 5,000 times in a 10-minute interview. And you did not say like once. Good job.
Yes. Now my mom won't yell at me. Yay.
No, Mom, you should be very proud. She did very well. And regular listeners to the show know that I'm being totally honest here because I would let you know otherwise. So
awesome.
You did great. We're looking forward to having you back. It's United Mountain Horse. You can find them at their website. Do you know the website?
It's Oh, goodness. You all are going to put me on
United
the spot.
UnitedMountainHorse.com.
They changed it.
Yeah, well, let me look. Let me just verify to make sure it's UnitedMountainHorse.com. Yes.
Yep.
I did put you on the spot. Now they can pick on you about that. They had nothing to pick on you about until the end of the show.
Good. Thanks.
We'll be back here live tomorrow morning. Remember, it's Really Bad Ads Day. If you have a really bad ad, send it to Jennifer at Horse Radio Network and put really bad ads in the subject line. And also, you want to copy and paste the entire ad into the email so it doesn't go away. And we'll be doing that on tomorrow's show. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Jackie. Thank you. Thank you to United Mountain Horse and especially our sponsor, Brett Construction Company, for sponsoring this special Mountain Horse episode. Talk to you next month, Jackie.
All right. I will see you all next month. Thank you all so much.